This is a special report on the University of Idaho Murders podcast, Four Killed for What?
Thanks for joining us. I'm Tony Bruschi. According to records from the court, Brian Koberger's court-appointed public counsel was defending a parent of one of the four victims of the Moscow stabbing before she took on his case. Reporting today coming from the Idaho Statesman, Koberger is suspected of killing all four of the victims of the Moscow stabbing. On January 5th, Ann Taylor, chief of the Kootenai County Public Defender's Office, filed a notice of attorney withdrawal on behalf of the parent in Kootenai County Court. This was the same day that Koberger made his first court appearance in Idaho, which took place in Leyte County. The parent was already found guilty of unrelated criminal crimes and given a sentence in that case, as well as another one in which the parent is facing two felony charges. The public defender's office decided to withdraw its representation in favor of a local criminal defense attorney who has no connection to either Taylor or the county's public defender's office. In the paperwork filed with the court, the new lawyer is referred to as the conflict public defender. According to Brad Andrews and quotations from the Idaho Statesman, a former counsel for the Idaho State Bar, when a former client is involved in a current representation, a lawyer should consider any potential conflicts of interest. Andrews made this statement to the Statesman over the phone. Conflicts are very factually based, and so the lawyer decides whether the lawyer has a conflict. Taylor is one of just 13 public defenders in the state of Idaho who's been given permission to lead a capital sentence case by the state's Public Defense Commission. Additionally, she is the only one of her kind in the entirety of North Idaho. In the instance of Koberger, the prosecutors have not yet disclosed whether or not they intend to seek the death penalty. According to the documents from the court, the county public defender's office has defended the parent of the homicide victim on and off since the year 2000 in multiple different instances. Since Taylor has been in charge, her office has successfully defended the parent in four cases, one of which was a misdemeanor that occurred in August of 2017 and for which Taylor became the attorney of record in September of 22. Since Taylor became the chief public defender, her office has also represented a different parent of a Moscow homicide victim in four other criminal prosecutions. The online court documents refer to Taylor as an inactive counsel in two different cases. Taylor, who's 57 years old, has been the head of the Kootenai County Public Defender's Office since June of 2017. According to other reports, she worked at the same office from 04 to 2012, after which she went into private practice before coming back to assume leadership of the organization. According to a story from a newspaper in the Kootenai County, Idaho area, Taylor was born and raised in the state, and she received her legal education at the University of Idaho in 1998. Does this present a potential conflict of interest? That's the question everyone is asking. We're going to try and answer that with help from the Idaho Statesman. In its Rules of Professional Conduct, the Idaho State Bar offers attorneys guidance on how to handle conflicts of interest in their cases. In its Regulation on Conflicts and Current Clients, the American Bar Association states that loyalty and independent judgment are essential elements in the lawyer's relationship to a client. Concurrent conflicts of interest can arise from the lawyer's responsibilities to another client, a former client, or a third person, or from the lawyer's own interests. Bob Berkowitz has been practicing law for many years. He's currently the director of the Defender Initiative at the Law School of Seattle University. The program's primary objective is to enhance the quality of legal counsel provided to the public. And in an interview with the Idaho Statesman, he declined to answer the question of whether or not Taylor's situation constituted a conflict of interest. Instead, he stated that attorneys should be guided by the codes of their respective states and even consult others in the practice when possible conflicts of interest arise. And this part, I just want to read verbatim from the Idaho Statesman here. Each lawyer needs to assess the possibility of a conflict with the ethical rule in front of her and talk with clients. Berkowitz said by phone, a lot of these questions are not easy to answer, and it benefits having multiple people looking at them and sorting through the potential issues. Public defenders in Idaho also operate under slightly more relaxed conflict rules because of the nature of the work to ensure needy defendants receive adequate legal representation per case law established in Idaho v. Severson. When I discussed potential conflicts with lawyers, part of my advice was the lawyers should assure they are able to exercise their independent professional judgment, said Andrews, the retired Idaho State Bar Counsel. If convicted, Koberger faces the possibility of death penalty. The death penalty is still in effect in Idaho, which makes it one of the 24 states in the U.S. After Koberger enters his plea, the prosecutor's office has then 60 days to file a notification with the court indicating whether or not they would pursue the death penalty. Berkowitz pointed out that beyond the potential conflicts that appear on their face, it is common practice for defense attorneys to seek to speak with the families of victims during the course of a possible sentencing period in order to obtain their buy-in for a life sentence and circumvent the death penalty. Quote, certainly effective representation in a capital case, if it's going to get to the penalty phase, there's got to be an effort to talk to the family, Berkowitz said. Stephen Gillers, a professor of legal ethics at the law school at New York University, indicated that there is a workable answer to a circumstance like this, despite the fact that it's uncommon because it occurs so infrequently. On Monday, Gillers explained the concept of shadow counsel to a reporter by saying that there is such a thing when a lawyer has a conflict that's relatively minor that a lawyer may wish to not handle or may not be allowed to handle. The lawyer can ask someone else to do that part of the case. It's not apparent whether Koberger was or is aware of his attorney's former connection to the parents of two of the four students he's suspected of murdering, but it is quite likely that he is. In addition to Taylor, there are 11 other public defenders in the state of Idaho who are capable of leading a capital case. However, none of them actually live in the region of North Idaho. Additionally, 10 public defenders, including two in northern Idaho, are qualified to engage as co-counsel on the case involving the death penalty. Jay Logson, Taylor's chief deputy of litigation and also one of her co-counsels in the Koberger case, is one of them. The other is attorney Susie Jensen, who formerly served as the top public defender for Bonner County. In November, Governor Brad Little selected Jensen to serve as a judge in the 1st District of Idaho. Deb McCormick, a public defender in Lato County, has defended Johnny Lee, a Moscow gunman in the past. Lee, who admitted to three charges of murder in exchange for life in prison and to avoid the death penalty, pled guilty in 2016. According to the most recent version of the list of eligible Idaho public defenders, which was published in December, McCormick is not now authorized to lead or co-counsel a capital case. On June 26, Koberger and Taylor are expected to return to the Lato County Court for his preliminary hearing, which is stated to begin at 9 a.m. Pacific time. However, prosecutors could speed up the timeline by seeking a grand jury indictment instead of waiting until the preliminary hearing to prove probable cause. That's the latest that we have for you. Keep it here for more breaking updates and discussion on the case. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of that. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
This is a special report on the University of Idaho Murders podcast, Four Killed for What?